In response to 9/11, the security conscious anti-Islamic sentiment has not abated in the years since the attack. In fact, it has gotten much stronger. So what I want to do tonight is look at the impact of the war on terrorism on notions of the enemy, but also at the same time on notions of how Canadian nationhood has been redefined since the events of 9/11 and in the war on terrorism. And I want to look at the citizenship rights of people of color and what some of the feminist responses have been to these events. So immediately following the attacks of 9/11, the Liberal government in Canada, following the lead of the Bush administration, implemented a number of major policy changes in the name of fighting terrorism. These included the strengthening of state powers of surveillance and detention, the imposition of greater restrictions on immigration and refugee policies, the increased scrutiny of immigrants and refugees, both at the borders and within the country, and a strengthening of the powers of deportation, a commitment to fight the war on terrorism under the leadership of the Bush administration, more specifically to participate in the war on Afghanistan. It also led to the intensification of intelligence, security, and military alliances with the United States. These measures constituted Al-Qaeda and the Taliban as the international enemy of the United States and its allies like Canada. And internally, they pointed in North America to the figure of the Muslim immigrant and refugee as the greatest threat to national security. Not only was the figure of the immigrant and refugee being recast as the Muslim outsider through such measures, with his or her essential and immutable civilizational inferiority, so was the Canadian nation being recast, now enthusiastically remembering its identity as part of the community of the West, also with its attendant racialized claims to civilizational superiority. This idea of recasting the West is very important for me to think through and what that means, because of course in Canada, since the 1970s, the nation has presented itself on the global stage as a multicultural nation. And, you know, tepid and hollow as the changes were, and a number of scholars have written about multiculturalism as still contributing to the maintenance of sort of white supremacy in this country. Nevertheless, multiculturalism did, compel the nation to position itself somewhat differently. Since 9/11, I think the self-identification, the self-representation of the nation as multicultural has come under intense attack. So recasting the West for me is a very important thing to look at in what's happening to how Canadian nationhood is being redefined. The Bush administration, of course, informed the world that the immediate cause of the 9/11 attacks was the murderous envy of the Islamists of the democracy and freedoms that abound in the civilized West. And this knowledge quickly became the frame for representing the war on terrorism. The evildoers hate our freedoms was the explanation offered and readily repeated by Canadian political and media elites to questions about why the attacks had occurred. The claim that there exists an abundance of democracy and freedoms in the West and that these are the real targets of the terrorists rapidly became part of the common sense understandings widely articulated in the public sphere. We are civilized and free. They are filled with hate and envy for us. Western civilization here in this recasting of Canadian nationhood is exalted as superior, as are Western values and culture, while Islamic civilization and culture are denigrated as pre-modern, barbaric, and inherently violent. Best encapsulated in Samuel Huntington's thesis of the clash of civilizations, this narrative posits the two as inherently antithetical and irreconcilable. As others have noted, This clash of cultures thesis serves to mask the long-term commitments and underlying interests of the United States in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other Middle Eastern and Central Asian countries. As Mahmoud Mamdani has noted in his new book, this culture talk avoids history and politics and downplays the crucial encounter with colonial power, which shapes the relationship of the United States to the Middle East and Central Asia in the current geopolitical order. For Mamdani, taking this history and politics into account means recognizing that militant Islamist movements are the outcome of contemporary political realities, such as the Cold War hostilities between the United States and the Soviet Union, and the CIA's support for the revival of the concept of armed jihad through its alliances with various Mujahideen factions in Afghanistan during the Soviet occupation. The consequences of colonial and imperialist domination and the Third World's contestation of the geopolitical order is a more accurate frame for understanding the current international conflict, Mamdani argues. And as for the concept of the West, Stuart Hall has pointed out that ideas about the West and the East do not refer principally to geography, but are part of a system of representation that is rooted in the myths and fantastical projections of Europeans and in their historical conquest of territories and colonization of peoples. Whereas the discourse of the West and the rest treats the development of the West as the result of forces largely internal to Europe's history and formation, Hall argues that this development was instead very much a global story. It was in relation to and in contrast to the rest that the West developed its own sense of identity, just as it was in relation to the wealth of its colonies that Europe and Euro-America were able to develop their own economies. In the case of Canada, the ongoing colonization of Aboriginal peoples and their dispossession remains the foundations for Canadian nationhood. The resurgence of this discourse of the West in the post-9/11 era has enabled all those who are hailed as members of the Canadian nation to assert their own individual claims to civilizational superiority in relation to the nation's others. The most obvious danger of the resurgence of this discourse is that it again erases the reality of Aboriginal presence in North America long before the arrival of the West, as it does the ongoing subjugation and resistance of Aboriginal peoples in the ongoing development of the West on this continent.